Blog Talk Radio.
One of your co-hosts.
And I am Tanyelle. Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday.
Yes. How are you, Tanyelle?
I am fine. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Coming off that long extended holiday weekend that I really needed. That was a blessing.
Right. Did you? So you did enjoy the break.
I did enjoy the break, Memorial Day weekend, really the time of reflection somewhat for me. I really do indulge in the old war movies and documentaries around this time and around Veterans Day and, you know, June the 6th and the 7th, that's going to be coming up soon. So when they play all that stuff on TV, I really get into it.
So you really love
the whole
black and white.
I love black and white. That's not the idea of the movies because, you know, there are the movies with the different movie themes to them and all of that. But just that whole time period itself of World War II, it draws me in. I'm so intrigued by it, just how people gave their lives for this cause and, you know, really knew I might not come back. I may never see my family again. The whole thing just draws me in. So Memorial Day for me is really reflective and just, you know, really I'm looking in at the sacrifice that all those people gave. And, yeah, so aside from me just enjoying the time off from work, that was another big part of this weekend for me.
Okay, I get it. You fully appreciated the military and what the guys and women do and that they give up their lives and leave their families practically to keep us safe. Yeah.
And just, you know, the idea of how all of that came into play with Hitler and Germany and how the German people were so willing to just let him lead them because of his promise for better things for them. You know, he's going to bring about change for them, you know, and they went with it 100%, you know.
And it was change, but it wasn't change for the better.
Right, for anyone. For
right, it was total manipulation.
Yeah. It's just interesting that... Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say your topic is, since you said that, the topic that you come up with for tonight about all the changes that are going on, I had some time to reflect on just that topic in itself, and it's funny you should say how Hitler, who we all know was a dictator, and that he promised a lot of changes, pretty much selling people on the fact that it was going to better their lives, when he really had a terrible motive. His motive was just evil. And when you sent me the topic, I just started to think about a lot of the things that we have right now, and some of it seems to be to our benefit, but some of it also is kind of destroying us at the same time. So yeah, I can't wait till we get into that whole discussion. But
tonight our topic is It's a Different World. We're talking about the changing times that we live in. Like you said, so much has changed. We know change is inevitable. We can't get away from that. And on some levels, we really should welcome change. But like you said, some of those changes, some may be for good, some may not be all that great. So we just want to hash out that conversation tonight on Ministry of the Way Radio.
Before we get into that, I just want to say shout out to my grandmother, who just celebrated her 84th birthday on Monday. 84. Yeah, 84. And we gave her a birthday party on Sunday. And a good bit of our family members came into town. All of my grandmother's children were there. She has a total of 15 kids. And about 40-something grandchildren, great-grandkids, and great-great-grandchildren. So we had a wonderful time over the weekend. So I just want to say, Granny, I love you if you're listening. And, again, happy birthday.
Now, you said 84, right?
84,
is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know she's seen some changes, huh?
Yes, she has. And, matter of fact, her and I had a conversation in the past about the recession. Remember when we were going through the recession and, you know, people were all panicky? She said, oh, baby. She said, you know, I've seen the depression, the recession, and she just was going through all of them. And she said it's just a way of life. It's a cycle. And, you know, not to panic. So, yeah, she's seen her better good days and bad days. But, you know, she's been through it. She's maintained.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she could tell us a thing or two tonight, you know. And I wonder what it's been like for her when all, like, the new technology that has rolled out, like going from, you know, the way telephones used to look. In fact, on the slideshow for our show tonight, I've got a picture of an old gigantic cell phone, you know, they used to have when they first came out. So looking at how technology has even changed. So, you know, I would love to have a conversation with her or anybody listening in our audience tonight. You want to either call in and tell us, those of you who've even been around before the cell phones and then when they rolled out television, even just all of that. Those are things that kind of you know, made the world somewhat better, I think, even as far as entertainment, the first television sets and all of that. Now look at it. You got computers that not only function as computers, but also as television sets, movie screens. You know, technology wows me.
Yeah, you know, it really does. We purchased her. She has the little iPad deal. And she doesn't use it. And she doesn't use it either. She still has her same house telephone number. And, you know, so, she doesn't use the cell phone. I don't, yeah, she still has the same. Her and my cousin, I have another cousin who, Cousin Sharon, and she still has the same telephone number since I was a kid. And so I only know those two numbers. Yeah, I remember them by heart.
I like that. We all used to know telephone numbers by heart, but I can tell you, I really don't. There's very few I know by heart anymore. We have the capacity to remember that. You know, I wonder today if I just had to remember phone numbers, you know, if technology changed and took this away from us, you know, could I go back and remember all those phone numbers?
I don't know, but you know, Missy, I can recall numbers that I dial frequently, and sometimes even on the cell phone, I will purposely dial the number so that I can remember it. And I've even, you know, I wrote down some numbers. I still have a little phone book hidden away. I haven't added to that phone book. I probably should, but I do try to remember. Like, I know my mom, my dad's number, you know, my sister, brother. I know their numbers by heart and a couple of friends and so forth, but I have more numbers stored than
You know, we do have a caller who's on the switchboard. I just want to acknowledge that. Thank you for tuning in with us already. We just got started, so I really appreciate you tuning in right at the very beginning.
We can you go out? About, can you give the phone? I'm sorry. Can you give the phone number?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to do all that right now.
Okay.
Yes. Tonight's show is titled "It's a Different World." We're talking about our changing times. If you want to call in and add your voice to our conversation, you can do that by dialing 347-637-3604. We would love to hear from you. You know, some of the things that we're going to have on the table tonight, we've already mentioned technology. We may talk about how education has changed over the years, parenting, styles, you know, just our attitudes even and our perceptions of things. So let's just jump right in here. Tanya, I want to start off with women. We're both women, so I think we can let this be our jumping off place here.
Go right ahead. Go ahead.
You know, I was thinking about how far we've come as women, if we can say it that way. Have we come far? Have we come too far even? At the height of the Women's Lib movement, remember that back in the, well, we were both children, really, back in the 70s, but still it has an effect on us today. I just wonder, from all of that at the forefront, and women were fierce back now, they were going to claim their place at the table, and from all appearances, have we done that?
Well,
did we get what we wanted? And I'm saying we. I wasn't part of that fight, but I'm just saying we as a collective, since I'm a woman.
Well, when they were doing it, they were always, you know, they always had in mind for the future, you know, women. So it wasn't
mm-hmm.
necessarily just something for the women who were currently fighting for it to benefit from. But when I talk to some women, let's just say this. There are women who are in corporate positions where they're head of something, CEOs, CFOs. So if we look at it from that perspective, yes, I would say there has been some, you know, breakthrough in that regard. But then also you talk to some folk and you might hear people say that it kind of broke down the family, so to speak, because
mm-hmm,
it took both parents out of the household home. Out of the household. So there's, you know, there's a good and a bad, and I guess, you know, we can talk about that all day long where you have to find out how to balance that. But when I
right.
hear people who are older talk about the feminist movement and things of that nature, sometimes I hear women say just that, you know, it kind of took them away from the family, from the home, being that caretaker. And so you didn't have both parents at home when a child returned home from school,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And somebody would say something different. I'm sure there's an argument against that, but
right.
That's just to see some of the conversation that I do hear. We have a woman who's running for president. Different. We've had a woman governor, right, in Alaska.
Right. We've had a woman governor here in Louisiana.
Hey, that's right. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Blanco.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kathleen
sure
Blanco.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Sure did. Those women that you had conversations with, would you say, since that was their line of conversation, that maybe they weren't able to be home and the kids made it in from school and that sort of thing, did it seem like they regretted not being there, or were they okay with the way life you know, just settled in for them? They weren't home when the kids got home from school, but they were okay with it. How did you take their comments?
It just seemed to be more of a, like a reflection, like a more
mm-hmm.
of a reflective thing. I don't know if it was a regret, but just something reflective, as, you know, like they can tell that there was a change, and whether it were for good or bad, because it brought additional income, I want to say, but
right.
still, it just seems like it was a reflective conversation. Like, I remember when, you know,
right.
we were, you know, we were able to be home, and then we all, you know, all of a sudden got jobs. And, you know, I'm talking about now my grandmother's age bracket, and, you know, and that just kind of took the female out of the home. And then you may have had somebody else a part of that conversation that had career goals, and of course, I guess they were okay with their path, you know.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, when I think about our gender and the changes, not only with being in the workplace, but our changing images of ourselves, like even what we see on television or portrayed in the media, whether it's print or, you know, movie screens. I see women today, the roles and the just the whole image has changed in such a major way. I see us as being a whole lot more fierce in some character roles, you know, and I don't know how I feel about that. I guess I don't feel altogether great about it when we can kick as much butt as a man can on a movie. You know, it's kind of unrealistic, but at the same time, you know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about all of that. I like to think of women as the softer sex, but I guess that's not always, people don't always want to see that. That's just me when I see the images on the big screen. Or remember, I'm an old movie fan, so this new stuff doesn't really appeal to me. I still like to see, you know, like Audrey Hepburn and, you know, that kind of thing. Just a lady being a lady, not out kicking butt. But, again, that's our changing times.
Well, I can say this. One of my favorite movies is a woman who kicks some butt, Long Kiss Goodnight. She was a spy. Her name was Charlie Baltimore. And it's so funny. Not Long Kiss. Is it Long Kiss Goodnight? I hope I'm not saying the movie wrong. But
I've seen that movie with Gina Davis, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and Samuel L. Jackson was in it. Am I the right movie? Oh, my goodness. And so... But she was a spy, and she had lost her memory. She suffered from amnesia,
right.
And she was a mother. And so it's so funny we're talking about this. She was a mom, and actually she was at the home cooking, you know, doing PTA meetings and all the whole thing. And then all of a sudden her memory was coming back to her. She was in the kitchen chopping up apples or something, and she all of a sudden started chopping them up really, really quickly, and she threw the knife, and some of her spy tactics had were coming back, right? And so eventually she realized who she once was, and of course she was kicking butt, but at the end of it she still, you know, was mom. You know, Demetria, I want to say, yeah, I have seen that women are fierce, and this is my opinion, anything wrong with a woman being in a, you know, a leadership role or anything like that. But the thing that I have kind of noticed a lot of lately is that women have this whole sexist thing. You know, at one time it was the man who had, you know, who was putting the woman out there, you know, exposing her, and you know, we call men sexist and stuff like that. But lately it's just this new wave of women saying that they're going to take control over their bodies and you know, dictate, you know, what sexy is. And so now they're beyond sexy. They're a little scandalous. And so that's another change where I've seen mature women, adult women, who have decided to take this position that they're going to decide who they are and own their bodies and this whole thing and be in power positions by, I guess, showing more skin, I guess. I don't know. And they're going to be the ones to determine how much skin they're going to show. And not have the male control that. So that's just been something new that I've noticed.
Yeah.
I'm, for one, I am woman. I love showing my sex appeal. I think God created us differently. Not think, he did create us differently from males to give us, you know, we have a physique that's not like theirs. But, you know, you can be sexy and tasteful. So, yeah, so that's something.
Yeah, what about the images that are on, like, on television? We've gone from Claire Huxtable, in that being, oh, I'd like to be like Claire, to now it's like some desperate housewife or something who just has a bunch of money and drinks and all of this, and that we seem to find that appealing. I'm not really including myself in that, but from conversations that I hear and that I've been around, like, this is what draws the people to the TV now. This is what they're watching. No longer, you know, the Claire Huxtable image. That's a pretty significant change. And I think how women even view themselves, like, this is what's attracting me now.
Yeah, desperate housewives, and those desperate housewives have also, again, you know, bounced from one guy to the next using their sex appeal or whatever. And you have a Claire Huxtable who was very smart, intelligent, articulate, and she balanced being a mother and a career woman. And so we don't see any of that anymore. I can't think of a television show that has that. I can't remember one off the top of my head. I just turned in my cable box. So I've gotten tired of television, of reality television. Once they take all of that reality TV off, then maybe I'll tune back in. Speaking of television.
Maybe the creative juices can then start flowing again for all these writers and these television creators. Maybe they can, you know, actually put those creative juices back to work again.
You know, no. I had a talk with someone. I was standing in line. We were waiting on food, and we were actually talking about that very thing of how television is so loaded with reality TV. And one of the things we just kind of thought about that it seemed to have happened around the recession time, and I guess people were producers and writers or what have you were trying to save money, I guess, and they found these easy ways of entertaining folks. And you would think people who are creators want to create. And so maybe that's why we're starting to see, maybe we're starting to see more television shows like, you know, people are talking about Scandal, Empire, and all of that. You're having, you know, more series coming on television more often than reality TV, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, I would like a better written show, Well, Empire is written okay, I was told, as well as Scandal, but I just would like a, you know, better plot, I should say. Yeah.
A little more wholesome plot, is that what you mean?
I mean, you know, Scandal got my girl being thrown in the closet every 5 minutes. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, you got a president who's appearing weak. He can't even control himself. It's just, and you're the president.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, it's pathetic. He always looks depressed to me because I used to watch it when it first came out, and he just always looks sad. I was just like, oh my goodness, he's making decisions. But speaking of television, one of our guests that we had on, we were Michael H. when we had him on talking about Road to Recovery. He and I were talking about TV, and we were saying how, remember this, Niecy, how television used to go off at a certain time, and it was just like a screen would come on or something and it would end at a certain time. And he was talking about it in relations to, you know, exposure to different things on TV if you have certain disorders and, you know, addictions or what have you. And he was just saying how there's so much sex on television and things of that nature. And he just mentioned, like, you know, you remember when it was once a time TV would go off at a certain time. Now it's on all day.
Yeah, it is. And even with that same thought in mind, there's so much, and we've probably said this before on other shows, but there's so much access to everything that's going on in the world today. You know, there's the news channel. So it's 24 hours of news. If you want it, you can just really overindulge in you know, that's another big change. You know, what was that, CNN? I think CNN probably introduced that, if I'm not mistaken.
CNN wanted to be on the scene and everything. And it seems like with Hurricane Katrina, and it seems like with Hurricane Katrina, you just got this burst of let's be everywhere on the scene. I mean, you had so influx of reporters coming from everywhere to New Orleans, I can remember, and some of those people who were here now sit on primary positions, in certain media outlets. So, we get it.
Yeah,
and, you know, another thing, speaking of news too, you know, some of the news isn't accurate either. So we're finding that too. Like, anybody can be a reporter, a blogger. You know, we're taking information from bloggers like it's 100% true.
Right.
There's no fact checking. Remember, reporters would have to investigate. You know, they were investigating reporters, and now you have bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
And people believe firsthand information from a blogger who's sitting in a coffee shop. Not taking away anybody's profession, but I'm just saying.
Right. Remember, we're talking about changes in this different world that we're living in, and some change is good. Some change you just have to kind of squint and look at to see, I don't know. Let me keep looking at this to see how this is going to turn out. What am I really
looking at?
Let
me throw this one out at you. What about when you wanted to see a celebrity? Now, often I've been saying that celebrities just don't feel like celebrities to me anymore. They're overexposed and they're easily accessible. You can go on Twitter and talk to a celebrity. They're going to talk back to you. You can even agitate a celebrity easily now. You can go on Twitter and say something, and then they're mad, and then they're tweeting all day about it, and then some blogger picking it up that a celebrity has gotten into an argument with a fan or not a fan, and you didn't have that. I mean, the fact that I can reach out to Oprah, you know, it just it kind of takes away her celebrity.
Takes something away. Yeah. Which I guess may not be such a bad thing. Maybe it can deflate some of those egos. But I do get what you're saying. Again, that goes back to the technology giving us that kind of access. I don't know where it's going to end. Kind of a scary thought because we push the limits. One of my coworkers brought me this article today, and it's about this multimillionaire billionaire who actually wants to extend life to like 150 years. So he's doing some testing and all this, I don't know what technology, but trying to make it so that people can live a long life.
Oh, man, that sounds like it. That reminds me of the story in Genesis when the Tower of Babel, when they were trying to build the tower to heaven. I think that's what that sounds like. I mean, it's almost equivalent.
Yeah.
You know, that's
it
scary.
Is. That, I don't know how
you know
far it's going.
But, you know, God didn't let that happen. So
But look what has happened. And my reason that for bringing that up and why that article, and I haven't read it in full, why it intrigued me was because look at how far we've come in a science lab. They have cloned, remember Dolly, the sheep? So it's like, I don't know how far it can go, but I know that the mind of man is remarkable, and God made us that way. And who knows to what extent things will go. We really don't need nature or God to have a baby anymore. So totally different world. You think there's only one way to have a baby? No. You can go visit a scientist in a lab or a doctor in the white coat. And, you know, to see how far society has come and just to wonder on how far it can go, it's amazing. It's amazing. I love the mind, but where does man know how to limit himself?
Well, I mean, referencing going back to scripture, you know, too much knowledge is you know, was man's downfall. And so, you know, we go back and we read. So some of the same things we're talking about, they were talking about it too, probably, more than sure back then, because there were some new things that were coming out and things were getting too advanced. And so, you know, the whole thing of being able to, you know, freeze your eggs and all that, you still need, you know, they still, you still have to implant it in an embryo. And so you still need God's way of making a baby. I mean, yeah, I know it's not through the act of intercourse,
well,
but
you can go pay for a woman's womb these days. I'm saying there's a way to get around it and come in a more and more godless society. So there's,
but you still need the womb, right? You still,
yeah,
okay,
right,
yeah, you still need the womb.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm glad you still need the womb. That they're not just putting it in kind of a petri glass and all of a sudden you turn around three times and the baby is there. I mean, that's going to really blow my mind.
We don't know. We don't know where it may end up. They did that.
But listen, there is this thing that I was told by a guy that they're making 3D food, that they're scanning food and also they're trying to scan organs. And it's a 3D scanning process where they're replicating food and also organs.
Yeah, I know they've done, like, body parts, like limbs. I've heard of, I don't remember what college it was, but they were able to, I don't know if it was an arm or something like that for a child with lost ears. Yeah, I mean, there's been amazing things happening, good, bad, or indifferent, amazing nonetheless.
I just wonder how far, well, you know, everything, you know, God has control of it all. And sometimes you wonder just how far is this going to keep going until he said enough is enough. But, yeah, people are stretching the limits. There was something else that
Let's go ahead and take a break. Can you, we'll visit your thought on the other side of the break. Is that okay?
I can hold on to it.
All righty. We'll be back.
But it winds up.
Hello, everyone. This is Ministry Along the Way Radio. Thank you for holding on through our break. I am Demetria, one of your co-hosts, and, well, Danielle is on the phone with me.
I'm here.
There, Danielle.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead and let's jump back in here with the thought that you were getting ready to share with us before our break.
Yeah, so I was going to mention, remember when you couldn't go to the shopping mall on a Sunday? I think it was called the Blue Law. Thank you. My mother used to work at Mervyn's, I remember, and Sundays she was off. And, you know, it kind of, every once in a while, kid you not, I think about that, how now we're shopping on Sundays. And to me, Sunday is, of course, we know it's the Sabbath, it's the worship day, but and you can worship any day. But it's a family day, you know. And so I
right.
understand hospitals being open on that day. And, of course, we need police officers and emergency
right.
systems to be in place. But, yeah, so I think about that often. I really do how people are having
yeah.
to go to work yep, on Sundays.
Yeah. In those days, we were able to have those family dinners on Sundays and just gather as a family and really enjoy each other, you know. It's, I'm glad you're mentioning that as far so that we can talk about family. I do want to transition into to parenting because
mm-hmm.
that is one thing that has changed in a major way over the years. There's so many things that are just different. I mean, I mentioned, I think it was last week, on how they're going to have the option now of parents putting a chip in their child so they can keep up with him if they're on a playground. It's like, why can't you just watch your kid? You know, you got to actually implant a chip to keep up with your child if they wander off. How about keeping your eyes on your child? Real simple thing. But parenting
wow.
and the parenting roles have changed. It's like, I don't know. They're not all together for the best. It's like the roles are reversed somewhat. We're overindulgent. Even when we can't afford, we still, you know, we got to get this for my kid. Or, you know, I don't know how you feel about that. Let me, before you,
I
want to respond, yeah, let me just say that there is a caller who does want to talk with us. So I'm going to go ahead
and
add them to the conversation. Hello, caller. Can you tell us your name and where you're calling from? Caller, are you there? Hello. Okay, maybe we've lost you. Okay. All right, Tanya.
Yeah.
lost that call.
I want to encourage that person. Please do try and call back. We would love to hear from you. But when you were talking about parenting, you're absolutely right. Who now have, 13, 14-year-olds, and they'll participate in conversations with us, you know. And I remember when the roles were reversed, when I was their age, the kind of kids were off to the back. My grandmother had a downstairs portion of her back, you know, of her house. And kids, we would play down there and do our thing and eat and, you know, if there were a family gathering, and we could not participate in adult conversations, you know, especially when they were talking adult stuff or whatever. And, I mean, we would eavesdrop.
That's right.
But, I mean, we would, you know, we would eavesdrop, but it wasn't made easy for us.
But
to
you
hear.
Knew your place.
And not,
you
yeah,
knew
so
your place,
now,
right?
Yeah, it's different. You know, my younger cousins, they'll sit amongst us, and, you know, it's kind of like, they will chime in on a conversation, and, you know, I'm like, you know, can they go to the back? And sometimes, you know, moms are like, well,
doesn't it strike you strange when that parent, they don't seem to mind? And it's like, to me, I'm kind of like looking like, are they going to correct this kid? Are they going to send them out of the room? And it never happens.
But it's even stranger when it comes from, like I said, we were raised as a close family. And it's strange when I know how we were all raised. And it just seems mm-hmm. like with my age group of the grandkids, it just stopped with us. And the younger ones, we often tell them all the time, it's like, y'all just let them get away with everything. And you guys are so lenient with them. And my aunts who have the younger crew, we call them the younger crew, they're like 7, 6 years older than I am. So they're the more lax parents. Not completely lax, but with some things, you know. And so I'm always kind of saying, well, you remember we couldn't do that, and, you know. So, yeah, that's just a little bit too much for me sometimes to take in. But, yeah, that's different, totally different. Even when go ahead.
No, go ahead. I wanted to try it again to get that caller on. I see that they're still hanging there. So go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah, caller, and just press 1 if you want to participate in the conversation. We do want to hear what you have to say. But, no, that's just one of those things, Demetria. And also, you were touching on something about just giving a child too much. Even if you're able to afford it, you know, you never leave them. You should, you know, have your kids, I don't know, it's just like don't give them everything because then they'll never, you know, they'll never anticipate anything. It's just like everything is coming to them so easily. And you know, once they get out of your home, they're going to be still expecting to get everything. And that changes, you know. You can't keep up that lifestyle for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so
that's a rude awakening when they realize that the world isn't just waiting with an open hand to give them everything they want, let alone need. I mean, come on.
And, you know, I don't care how much technology we have, and I'm serious. I guess I'm a little old school. I don't care how much technology we have. And as I do grow my relationship in Christ and kind of get understanding, when God want to do what he want to do, he's going to do it. And so, you know, we can have all this stuff. You're right. When you get out from the fold of your parents, out of the household, it's a whole new life. And, you know, you're going to be hit with some things that are just natural occurrences. Is what I'm saying. So that's what I mean about when God's going to do what he's going to do, he's going to do it. Because some things are just going to flow naturally. I don't care what scientist comes about, you know, prodigy comes about, that comes up with the new, latest, whatever. You still have to know how to maintain it all. You know, you have to learn how to balance the new technology, balance, should I buy that latest, whatever it is, and all of that. You know, you got to learn how to balance it all. And not let it control you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And how about education, Danielle? That has changed as well. That's changed in a major way. Whether we're talking education for children, or whether it's you know, beyond high school and college, and even on into you know, grad school. As far as children are concerned, I'm noticing some trends that don't fit too well with me, and I don't know how important they are to anybody else, but kids aren't even learning how to write in cursive anymore. It's like, why not? Why?
My baby told me,
they're going to fill out an application and they're going to have to print. Still, that's not good enough for me.
Well, let me tell you some good news. I call her my baby, my 8-year-old niece. She came home to me, and she told me toward the end of the semester, the end of the year, that they were learning how to write in cursive. And I was so excited to hear that because, you know, you're correct that we were hearing that they weren't learning scripted writing, writing in, you know, script, but that even there were classes teaching children how to do shorthand because children are now texting. And that's what I mean, Demetria, about even though we have these phones and we have all this stuff, you still don't have to let it control you. You know, some of these kids, you know, I've heard my aunt is a teacher. Some of these kids don't know how to complete sentences, write complete sentences, you know, form paragraphs because they're LOLing, you know, shaking my head as SMH or whatever. And it's okay to learn those little techie things, but, you know, balance it out and still learn your basics and the things that you need.
You have to know when it's appropriate. And it's not just the children who...
Adults.
It's the college kids too. It's just not the kids as far as the age is concerned. It's college kids. It's grown people who cannot write a full sentence anymore. They can't express themselves anymore in print. And that, to me, that's one of those changes that I think we could have done without.
Right.
You have to learn when it's appropriate.
Yeah. I was talking to a couple of ladies at a sewing shop, right? And we call it the shop, like, you know, the beauty salon, but we talk amongst each other in the sewing shop. This lady who has a seamstress store. But anywho, one of the ladies was explaining to me when she was younger, around, she was getting ready to graduate high school, and I think she's now, I want to say she may be in her 60s, but she told me that back in the day, if you were with child, you couldn't graduate. You had to go to night school.
Right.
Now, I don't know how I would feel about that, but I said, it's kind of, was that like a scarlet letter type thing, you know, like you had to wear the letter, everybody knew you were pregnant, and they penalized, you know, I don't like that because the women, it sounds like they were penalizing the girls, so the dad can still go to school, but the young lady couldn't. I don't know about that rule. Evidently, that has changed. Now, that is a change that I'm glad has changed. However, I can't appreciate the fact that they were trying to discourage, out of children being birthed out of wedlock. I guess that's what they were trying to do. I just don't like the method. So I am glad that changed in a sense.
Yeah, lately... you know, there's always been, at least since I was in school, some little measure of sex ed being taught. A few weeks ago, I was listening to a program, and they're trying to mandate more of that, and it sounds like to a greater degree. As if you don't have, teachers don't have enough on their hands just trying to educate their students on the subjects that they're supposed to be teaching them. It's like, kind of leave that to the parents. So there's a cross right there between the education system and the educators. I think crossing the line, that's a change that I think we as the society, some of these things we need to stand up against, and that would be one of them.
Let me tell you.
Let's define the parenting roles and stick to them.
You know, I just think, you know, on that, you and I may disagree about that just a tad bit, and just coming from a thinking that they both should work together, because when you think about it, children are at school in a longer day than they are at home. Because by the time you get home from school, now you're doing homework, you're getting ready, you're eating, and you're going to sleep. So you probably have 3 or 4 hours with your children. Where at school on a Monday through Friday, the teacher is with your child more than you're with your child. And the only reason I can say that is because I actually thought about that when I think about being a parent. I think about, like, should I do homeschooling? Because, man, my child is going to be with at the school more than they're with me. And so I don't know. I'm not a parent. You are. So I know you have your reasons behind that. But I just, there should be, again, that whole balance, you know, with that. I don't know if I'm totally against sex ed. I took sex ed in school. It didn't encourage
that's
me.
That's what I said. To some degree, since I was in high school, and I remember it clearly, it might have been junior high. I can't quite remember. But there was some measure of it. Today, they want to take it further. They want to talk about more than just the basics. That's why I'm saying they're crossing the line, and that shouldn't be the education system's. The values may not be my values. And
yeah, there may be some.
I've heard when it comes to values, I don't need this outside source painting a picture of, you know what, you're older and you might have sex, and if you do, you know, you don't have to, you know, this is coming on some things that I've heard, not just me randomly making it up, you know. You don't have to go and get permission to go and get the birth control. It's available to you. That's crossing the line for me. That's crossing the line.
Oh, that's the conversation.
That's not
but it's not an education.
That's not education.
Yeah. No, that's not education. And that's not even education to say you go around your parents and don't have to, you know, get assistance with getting birth control. That's not education. That's That's totally absurd. Yeah.
Manipulation.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Things like that, it's like, okay. And then you have to, you know, there's different things you can opt out of if you even know what's going on in the first place. So some of these things are kind of coercive and just under the grid, and you don't know about until, like, boom, when did this happen? Did anybody even ask me as a parent? And I'm so glad that I don't have kids in school in this day and age. You know, you said you don't know whether you would homeschool or not. I know. I know hands down if I had a kid today, I would homeschool. And, in fact, I've told both of my children that. I know my daughter, she intends to homeschool when she starts having babies. It's either that or Christian, and I don't mean just private school. I mean Christian school. So,
right.
That's just my stance on it. I think
about that a lot, Demetria, about, you know, homeschooling for some of the same reasons that you're speaking of. And I do agree about not just saying I'm sending my child to a private school, but doing some research on that school and that it be Bible-based. Unfortunately, there are not a lot of Christian schools that maybe I just don't know of them, you know, all. I just wish that they were more and more visible, because I would love to have Maya in one of them. But yeah, it's just a lot of things to think about. But at the same time, even though we're advancing, we go back full circle, right back to the basics. And that's why, you know, I'm always hopeful that no matter, it's going fast, you know, we got the whole internet thing, you have all this, but people are starting to take notice of how all of that overexposure is becoming detrimental in a certain sense. You know, we've had children die to bullying on the Facebook, MySpace. We've had families, you know, couples break up because of those social media networks, and, you know, people are committing adultery because the access. So, you know, when you have small conversations and you just, you know, in a group session with, you know, friends and family, and you just hear discussions how people are like, you know, I'm taking a break from Facebook, or I'm taking, you know, a break from social media for a little while. Yeah, you hear from time to time. So I think people are starting to feel it and feel the stressors from it. You know, like I said, it's a good thing, but you got to balance it. I mean, you know, if you have a business, if you have family members, friends you're trying to contact, that's cool. I have a saying that I don't think it was meant for me to keep up with all the people I've known since my elementary school years. I think it's impossible for me to keep up, but somehow Facebook has made it possible. But I still know I don't want to keep up with them like that. I love everybody. I just don't. I don't want to know what everybody's doing. I really don't. And that's just my opinion, you know.
We do have several people on our switchboard. I want to give you the opportunity once again to add your voice to the conversation. Those of you who are listening by phone, you can do that by pressing the number 1 on your telephone. Those of you listening by computer, if you want to dial in, go ahead and call us at 347-634. We are talking about our changing times, the different changes that have happened in the decades, the 20th century, the 21st century, just how far things have come from that time to now. The changes are amazing. Some of them are quite remarkable, as we said earlier today. You know, we have made some strides. One of the pictures that I put up was Rosa Parks sitting on that bus. You know, that's a really positive change. I know race relations aren't altogether fixed in this country, and far from it, but we have come a long, long way since those times. And for that, I am grateful and thankful to God.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You can walk into a restaurant, even though there's still some challenges, but you can walk into most restaurants and you see a multitude of people in there from all different backgrounds. You know, there's still some strides that need to be made on the employment side. You know, because it's one-sided. Oh, yeah. You know, you may have one ethnic group working in the kitchen and, you know, that whole thing, and a certain group working at the front of the house type thing, but serving and stuff. Right. But we still have some work to do. But, yeah, it's totally it has gotten a little bit better. Something I wanted to just pull before we got off the air when we were talking about just too much knowledge and, you know, that things are advancing much. And I was just trying to remember where the scripture came from, but it was basically Solomon speaking. And he said in Ecclesiasticals 1 and 18, and I'm reading from the New International Version, "For which much wisdom comes, much sorrow, the more knowledge, the more grief." And that's why I said that this isn't, it's new to us because we're living it, we're existing in it right now. But there's so much we can go back and read from that wonderful life guidebook, the Bible, and it'll show that people were going through the same thing. You know, Solomon was blessed with so much wisdom. We know that story, Demetria, and knowing so much, seeing so much happen, he was even sometimes overwhelmed with all of that knowledge and information. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Again, just to reiterate what you're saying, we have to find some balance. It would be so helpful to us as a society if we found some balance. You know, and I guess for those of us who are mindful, not everybody is aware or even wants to be aware. Some people are just fine, you know. They may not see certain things as too much. They're okay with it.
Until things start crumbling around on
But for those of us who kind of get that little nudge and say, wait a minute, maybe I should slow down with this thing, and that's a helpful thing to take a closer look at what you're looking at, what it is that you're indulging in, and see if it's really edifying to you. You do want to live a good life. You do want to, be helpful to our children and not hurting them in some way, even if we think we're doing the right thing by them. It's okay to pause and say, you know what, I might be overdoing it with them. Let me back off. Let me have a conversation with them about this and saying, you know, maybe, you know, I can't afford to do this, but not now. I don't think this is what we need to do right now. I think this is something you can wait on until you're older. Maybe you don't need a cell phone when you're 10 years old. You know, have a conversation like that. You don't need that latest gadget right now. Here, Danielle, you got to see the pictures I put up in the slideshow. There's a Slinky. You give a kid a Slinky today, I'm sure they're going to look at this and say, well, what am I supposed to do with this?
Wait, you know? I got my niece. She has a hula hoop. She has skates. Guess what? We even got jacks. And we started playing jacks, and I was having a blast with jacks. Listen, in Barnes and Nobles, they had the old school toys. Remember the Etch and Sketch and stuff like that? You know, they were coming back with some of the retro toys. Remember the plastic record player? I don't even remember.
Right.
Yeah, they played music. It played music. And then the telephone with the man with the red nose, you know, the eyes, the big eyes,
oh, yeah.
You know, the red nose. That was at Barnes and Nobles. Was coming back. So that's why I said, you know, I'm not going to totally panic because, again, I'm so hopeful because God really is in control of everything. I didn't realize that, you know, a while back. And I do keep – I'm saying it over and over purposefully. I am, because he is in control. And when he is ready to stop and pause stuff and slow it down, he will. And I just hope that people learn to balance so that they don't become burdened by trying to get the latest or get everything or be a part of everything, because you don't have to be a part of everything.
Right.
You don't have to put your kids in everything and you're wearing your children out.
Right.
You know, we even see that now. People have their kids in multiple activities and the child can't even think straight, you know. So just slow down a little bit and enjoy life. God does want us to have life and life abundantly. you know, not a stale life. He's not a stale God. He's a living God. So, yeah. And have fun. You know, have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, enjoy this life that he gave us. And with that said, that is the end of our show. It's been fun. It's been an interesting topic, don't you think?
It sure has been. Been one we could probably talk about a little bit more. I'm kind of liking this whole current event segments that we've been doing. I like it. Yeah. All right. See you guys next week.
Yeah. See you later.
Okay. Good night, Niecy.
Just remember that you can too.